And let's pray as we get into the Word today. Amen. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Pray with me. Say, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I open my heart and I open my ears and I expect you to speak to me and minister to me right where I am. My ears are open and my heart is ready for all that you have for me today. In Jesus' name. Now, Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you, Lord, that you do speak to us, that you minister to us right where we are. We just give you praise and we give you thanks right now. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word does speak to us. It enlightens the eyes of our understanding. We just give you praise and we give you thanks for your word today. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted, amen. Give your neighbor a high five and you can be seated. Hallelujah. Oh, I hear some smacking. Woo! Amen. Good to see everybody. Hallelujah. Hey, this morning, I'm not going to finish this today because of the time. And I want to let you get out a little bit before 12 today because we really pushed the messages to get all these in. We've been talking about communication, being a good wife, being a good husband. But really, we're talking about relationship. Everybody say relationship. And I want to share some more with you about that today. And I will close it out next Sunday. Melissa and I may do some of it together next week and have a few points extra just to give to you. Being a good wife and a good husband, being a good friend. Everybody say good friend. Those things are important in life. Can you say amen? Amen. You need to be a good friend. And today I want to hit on a subject that I think we don't talk enough about. I tend to talk about it a lot because personally I think this subject in particular, all the scriptures, you've already seen them in your handout, I think love is the most paramount thing in our walk in this life. Faith works by love. The gifts of the Spirit even flow by love. And how can you say that, Pastor? Well, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and then chapter 13 and 14, sandwiched in the middle of the gifts of the Spirit, Paul talks about the most excellent thing, and that is love. Look at your neighbor and say, love. You're supposed to love one another. Amen. You're supposed to love one another. That's why the Father sent Jesus. Look at John 17 and what Jesus prayed in the garden, that they would know me. I've showed them you. I've showed them your heart, that you love them. Amen. And we read in Scripture where Paul even talked about how the love of God's been shed abroad in all of our what? Hearts. Amen. It's important. But this morning, I want to talk to you today about keys for you to walk in forgiveness. And whether you have a best friend or, I mean, my wife's my best friend. But we always have opportunities where you can have a fence creep in or you can have, something hurt your feelings. Bless your darling heart. Sometimes things hurt you. Sometimes things vex you. Most of the time when you get hurt, the other person doesn't even know what they did. But you've taken offense to something. And again, the key is you took offense. All right? We can't live that way if we're going to be successful. Walking in love is what makes you a true success story. Amen. So, let's get into this today, and I'm not going to try to finish it and rush through it because I think you need to hear some of this in particular, but I want to talk to you about four keys to walk in forgiveness, okay? Let's look at our main verse today. This is from the Amplified Bible. It says, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love, God's love where?
In us.
Everybody say in me.
In me.
Amen. God's love in me does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not what?
Self-seeking.
Everybody say self-seeking.
Self-seeking.
Amen. You got to look in the mirror in the morning and say, I am not self-seeking. You got to look in the mirror and tell yourself the next verse, next part here. I am not touchy. I am not fretful. I am not resentful. Great confession here. I take no account of an evil done to me. I pay no attention to a suffered wrong. Love God's love in me bears up under anything and everything that comes. God's love in me is ever ready to believe the best every person. And why? Because love what? Never fails. Love never fails. And I know Miss Sally one year, I think it was Pastor Appreciation or something, made a statement. Pastor James always talks to us about love. If there's something to be remembered by, I would want to be remembered that I always told you about the importance of walking in love. Because everything works by love. Everything. God's heart is love. He loved you enough, you old reprobate thing, that He sent His only Son to die for you, right? He sure did, because He loves you. Amen. You know, whether you're a husband or a wife, or whether you're just in a regular relationship, got good friends, I mean, I want you to know that walking in love with one another really is the bottom line to living a good life. Walking in love is the bottom line to living a good life. You know, y'all remember this old saying, what's good for the goose is good. Say that. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Well, that applies in your marriage. And that also applies in your relationships. If you're going to have a happy home, if you're going to have a happy life, we must develop a habit of walking in the love of God. If we don't, it'll cause your life not to be blessed. If you walk outside of love, it can get you in trouble. There's certain things you got to do so you keep your heart safe and keep your heart right. Amen. And we have to choose to love. Amen. We must develop a habit of walking in the love of God, because it will always cause you to be blessed. It will cause you to have a good life. Walking in love will help you live a life that's worth living. God desires for your life and your marriage, and you ought to write this down. God desires for your life, your marriage, your relationships to be heaven on earth. Heaven on earth. So how can you say that? Well, Jesus told you how to pray, didn't He? He said, thy will be done on the earth as it is where? As it is in heaven. Is there hate in heaven? Is there strife? Is there cancer? No. Is there pain? Nope. Lord, I pray your will be done on this earth in me as it is in heaven. That's a good prayer right there. Amen. Love is a big part of all of this. Cannot say that enough. I know it's just that it's important, folks, and it is possible that when you do things God's way and obey His commands, things are good in your life. Amen. He wants you to live the good life. Ephesians talks about that when you read it in the Amplified. Amen. Talks about living the good life. But it's about being a doer of the Word. It's about loving God. It's about doing the Word. It's about walking in love. And I don't know how it could get any better, but if I can talk about Melissa and I for a minute, it gets better and better all the time. Have we had hiccups? Well, sure. Everybody has hiccups. Amen. I just bow down and say, Mom, you know, I went up to somebody the other day. I said, they asked me, it was Mark Johnson. He goes, you doing okay, Pastor? I said, yes, sir. He goes, everything all right in your life? I said, well, I need you to lay hands on me. He immediately stretched his hand out, put it on my shoulder, what you need? I said, I want you to pray I get the victory over Melissa. He broke up right there. He goes, oh, you're terrible. And I said, I know, but I'm saved. Amen. You know, we were talking last night. I asked Melissa, said, we met each other 38 years ago? 38 years ago. And we've been, huh?
We were in preschool.
We were in preschool, okay. Uh-huh. But we met 38 years ago. We're coming up on 38 years of marriage. And I'm going to tell you know, I don't know that we've ever been happier. In fact, the longer we live together, the better it gets. Because we've come into, listen, this is a real key to life. We've come into agreement about the way we live our lives. We flow together. If you're around us, you know that. You walk in our house, it's peaceful. It hits you in the face when you come in the door. It's peaceful. There's a peace there when you come in our front door. And that's because we're in agreement. We're in agreement about the way we live our lives, about the way we walk, about the way we talk. We desire, as pastors, we desire that you have a happy and blessed life and a blessed family and a blessed home. And not only that, folks, we want to encourage you to know that it's possible when you apply the principles that you find in the Word of God, we want you to know that it's possible to be happy all the time. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to have a Pepto-Bismol moment. Or you're going to hit a speed bump in the parking lot of life. You're going to do that. But you know, if you choose to put love first and let love be paramount, amen, then you learn that things work. Things work right. Amen. The Word of God is there. I mean, to me, in the Word of God, everything is there to live a happy life. And to me, it's a formula. This whole love walk is a formula for peace and happiness and joy and extreme blessings. Amen. I want to remind you of another part of 1 Corinthians 13 here. And this passage of Scripture teaches us a lot of things about walking in love. But right now, verses 1 and 2 are real important. And look at what this says. Paul writes, "If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal." The Southern translation says a loud rattling trash can. Seriously, it's in the Cotton Patch translation. I don't have it here. I meant to bring it. I'll bring that next Sunday because I want to read that again. But it's like you're a rattling trash can. I mean, there's nothing in there. Do you understand? You should have love in there. Instead, you're filled with offense and angst and everything else. You can do all the wonderful, noble things and look like you're somebody and walk around with your nose stuck in the air, but if you ain't got love, you're just an empty trash can. Amen. I love what Paul goes through next. And then again, all this is sandwiched in between chapter 12 and chapter 14. We read all about the nine gifts of the Spirit. We've read all about praying in tongues. We read all about how important it is that we do those things, that speaking in an unknown tongue does what to your spirit, man? Charges you up, edifies you, is what Paul said. That means charge you like a battery. But if you don't have love, you are nothing. You can prophesy and speak all sorts of things, like the Cotton Patch Bible says, all sorts of oration. All sorts of loud speeches, glory to God. But if you don't have love, none of that ain't going to be anything to anybody. You're just going to sound like a clanging cymbal. You're going to sound like somebody took the china cabinet and just dumped it all on the floor because you don't have love. That's all it'll sound like to them. You have to walk in love. But Paul goes on, he says, "And if I have prophetic powers and understand all of the secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge, and if I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains," not just speak to them, remove them, "but have not love," and then parentheses in the Amplified, it says, "God's love in me, I am nothing." And I love the parentheses next, "a useless" what? And I don't know about you, but right there tells me how important our love walk is. I don't want to be a useless nobody, do you? And I know some people, they want to cop a plea like, "Well, that's just the way I was raised." Oh, you reprobate thing. Come up here and let me cast the devil out of you. That's not how you were raised. You don't have to walk how you were raised. You need to be walking the way the Word of God says. Well, remember what I've always talked about all throughout the years. When I got saved, what did I do? I took off the old man And I went and put on the new man. I took off the old man, got rid of my dusty grave clothes, and I put on the new clothes. The new man, walking in the newness of life. If we don't have love, we're just not spiritual adults, folks. We can have all the gifts of the Spirit operating in our lives, but if we don't have love, we're not walking in, and not walking in love with others. The Bible says here we're useless nobodies. Nothing we do counts. That's how important love is to God, and that you walk in the love of God. Amen. That's how important it is. We have to understand how to walk in love. And you know, to begin with, we got to recognize that the love of God is unselfish. Everybody say unselfish. Have you ever noticed that, let me ask you this, how many happy, selfish people have you met in your life? I don't know of any happy, selfish people. Usually selfish people complain about everything all the time. They start talking like nothing works right for me. I try to separate myself from that crowd. Amen. You're listening to me. I don't want to be around them. Because I love them, don't get me wrong, but when it comes to being a good pastor and loving on you and taking care of what God's called me to do, I want to walk in the love of God. I'm gonna shield myself from that and stay away from it because I know it will get me in the flesh if I get around it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Okay? And I don't want to be in the flesh. Do you want to be in the flesh? No. No. But we understand it's important. I mean, we got to recognize that the love of God is unselfish. Have you ever noticed that selfish people are never happy? It's never enough. Nothing works right. Why? Well, they're always thinking about themselves instead of other people. They're always striving to get their needs met and get what they want. But that's not God's way. See, the Bible tells us that it is in the giving that we receive, right? The measurement of your generosity becomes the measurement of your return, Luke 6:38. Unselfish people walking in love are always looking for ways to bless other people, including their spouses. I try to look for ways to do nice things for my wife. Sometimes I score big. Sometimes I don't. I knew she wanted this pair of boots, and I've been trying for 2 years to get them. You can't get them. They're one of those things you have to be on a waiting list, and when they email you, if you miss that email, you're going to miss buying those boots. Well, I ordered them. They got to the house, and she was excited about them. I've been trying to get these, but they didn't fit right. You know how big Pastor felt? That big. I felt bad. Thought I did bad. So we're looking together, you know. How many of you know you need to do things together? Amen. Try it. You need to do things together. So we looked together on the website. She goes, I like these. And I said, all right. And get this size. All right. So I ordered. And you know what? They didn't have them. You had to wait for a week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, because they got to make them. Well, it only took 1 week, and then they came. And she's wearing them this morning. They look pretty doggone good. She was so excited about it. New boots. Woo, boots. Hey, man, that's a TV show reference. Well, I like doing nice things. How many happy, selfish people do you know? You want to do nice things for people. Amen. Y'all remember Janice Diamond? Remember Janice? You know, her family, they were sharecroppers. She lived in a dirt floor as a little kid. There was so much that people just didn't know. But you get around Janice and you know she's just a very proper lady. Remember that? And one day I found out that she liked Chanel number 19. And you know, I decided, because she told me, she goes, I've never had that in a long time. She had met my stepmother that Sunday that they were here at church. And she goes, oh, I love that smell. She knew exactly what it was. And I caught that. And I thought, you know what? The Lord quickened my heart. You need to order her Chanel number 19. So I got her that bottle of perfume. And she was ecstatic. She was so happy. She was tickled. She had tears in her eyes. She told me she only sprayed it on Sundays. And before she passed away, I spent a lot of time at her house, sometimes after 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. And we'd sit and talk. But that bottle of Chanel number 19 sat right next to her dresser. It was important to her. Folks, walking in love is very, very important. There's always a reason to walk in love. And you need to do that. Unselfish people, they walk in love and they're always looking for ways to bless others. They're always sowing love. And if they're always sowing, they're always what? Reaping. People who choose to live the happy life. People who choose to not let unforgiveness cloud their path. These people always live in happiness, in joy, and in peace. Amen. One more verse of Scripture, and I want to do the first point this morning. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5, and this is from the Amplified Bible. Love, everybody say love. Love does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. Amen. You know, demanding your own way is not how we walk in love. Didn't work for your grandma, didn't work for your mama, doesn't work for God either. Walking in love doesn't demand its own way. We live in a society that demands things be given to them. We live in a society today that thinks they're owed something. If you don't work, you don't eat. Paul said that. There's the thing about serving and honoring, being a blessing. And it's the thing that makes us Christian. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
One of the most important keys to having a happy life, happy relationships, and a happy marriage is being unselfish. Always be a giver is what makes the difference. You could be having the worst day of your life or go through a week where you're just grumpy. But if you always choose to have a heart that gives, it'll make the difference and keep that peace. Because everybody has a bad day every once in a while. But the thing is, what are you going to let rise to the top? All right? So this first one, these are keys to walking in forgiveness. The first one's so important in our relationships and in our marriages. You need to be adaptable. Everybody say adaptable.
Adaptable.
Need to be adaptable. You know, some years ago, I don't know if it was in Miss Sally's class or somebody else was teaching, our kids came home with a piece of construction paper. And it had a Band-Aid over it, and it said, Jesus heals me. And I thought, well, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. So I made a bunch of them. I had them in gold frames, and they're on our bookshelf at our house. And one of them I made, because it just inspired me, so I made one that looked like a little kid's crayon writing. And it says, Jesus makes me rich, and it had a brand new shiny penny underneath that in the scripture. And then I made one where Jesus heals me with the Band-Aid on it and a verse of Scripture under it where by His stripes we have been, past tense, made whole. But one I made, because it just came to me one day, is that Jesus, and I put a rubber band in there, Jesus makes me flexible. And part of it was a joke. I was laughing about We always, in Bible school, we talked about how Moses tied his donkey to a tree and walked. If you look it up, it says another word. Some of you getting it, some of you aren't. Hear me. You need to be flexible. It always grieves me to hear somebody snapping at somebody because you didn't get your way. That'll cost you in the long run. Amen. It'll cost you. You got to be adaptable. Not everybody thinks like you. Even in marriage, you got to be adaptable. Well, Joseph Bart said, a good marriage is two forgivers getting together. Another person said, marriage is your last best chance to grow up. Y'all listening to me? Some of your relationships, it's your best chance to grow up. Got to learn to give. Got to learn to love. And I'll tell you something, you got to learn to be adaptable. Everybody say adaptable. I mean, that's a key. That's a real key. Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5 here, verses 21 through 22. And I want to explain some things in this verse and another one here. And we'll just do this point. We're going to pray. It says here, be subject to one another out of reverence for who? Christ. Be subject to one another. Wives, be subject. This is where the whole submissive and all that people talk about. I'm going to give you a different take that I think will really speak to you because I think it should apply both male and female here. Be submissive and adapt. You ought to write that down in your notes. Adapt. Adapt yourselves to your own husbands as a service to the who? The Lord. As a service to the Lord. Adapt. Everybody shout it out, adapt. Are you adaptable? Yeah? Wives, be subject, be submissive, and adapt yourselves to your own husbands as a service to the Lord. You know, when Melissa and I first met, we fell in love together. How fast did we get engaged? Now, we're not normal.
2 months.
2 months we got engaged. We were married how many months after we met? 8 months after we met, we got married. Amen. Now, that's true for everybody, but it worked for us. And she had no plans to be in ministry, but boy, our life went, 100 miles an hour. That's the way it was. But we were different when we met. Everybody say different.
Different.
We were different when we first married. And we had to learn. You ought to write this down. It's good. We had to learn how to be subject to one another. We had to learn how to adapt. Adapt to one another. In other words, we both had to adapt to each other. And I'm sure that we're not alone in this. No matter how long you've been with somebody or how long you've been friends with somebody, you learn to adapt because everybody's different. A person often marries somebody who has a personality that's different from our own. I think I know why that's true in our lives. I needed Melissa and she needed me. She's more capable in a lot of things than I am. There's a lot of things I'm just not good at, but she's way better. And I don't mind saying it. And I know I'm capable in a lot of other ways, and I'm good at a lot of other things that she's not. But we complement each other. That's the way it is a lot of times with good friends in our lives. I mean, we're two totally different human beings who didn't think alike or act alike, but now that we've been married for all these years, we've adapted to one another. There's that word again. We've adapted to one another. And we learn to value our differences. Interestingly, over the years, we've also grown more alike in a lot of areas. Right? There are certain times we think alike. I mean, I like having a hamburger all the time. Melissa doesn't. But every once in a while, I'm thinking about it. And out of the blue, she'll say, I'd really like to go have a hamburger. It's like, my God, thank you, Jesus, for answering my prayers. But we think alike. We do things alike. We have a same mindset. We're joined at the hip, if you would. Amen. That comes because you spend what together?
Time.
You adapt to one another. You know, being submissive and adapting is not something that the women of just this generation or husbands have been taught. Nonetheless, the Bible says to be subject or adaptable to one another out of reverence for Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. We're supposed to be this way. This is not just a verse for wives. We're supposed to learn to yield to one another in the love of God. Now, as a pastor, I'll be quick to say this. I am not advocating that a wife should submit to any man who beats her or abuses the kids or anything of that nature. Get away. Run. Come see us. Let's go get help. But what I'm talking about here, I'm talking about being adaptable and submitting in a give-and-take attitude in everyday life. Y'all understand that? This is not something that's learned overnight. We didn't learn to be adaptable the first week we were married. I mean, she worked at a jewelry store. She had to go in at a certain time. I was used to sleeping next to the clock. She had a certain time she wanted to get up. And I thought, well, that's no big deal. I'll get up too. Well, the clock started going off. And my wife likes to hit the snooze button. How many of y'all like that? Yeah. Well, I had no idea. That alarm clock started going off, and I'm stirring real slow. All of a sudden, his hand comes over. Hit him. It's like, dear God, Jesus. I jerked the clock out of the wall, unplugged it, just ripped the cord out. We had to learn to adapt. She always sleeps by the clock now. That's what it means, be adaptable. Marriage is two forgivers learning to grow up. I'm thankful for the cell phone now, right? Set my own alarm. Oh, that's good. All right, real quick. Being adaptable is not something that's learned overnight. We didn't learn to be adaptable the first week we were married. But rather, we learned over the years. It takes time to grow. And you need to make it a point, no matter how old you are, no matter how long you've been married, no matter how long you've known somebody, you got to learn to be adaptable. That song, Hightower, that we did, I wrote that with my friend Chip Frazier. And we had a good time. That was in a children's musical for the Church of God in Cleveland, Tennessee. That and Comforter. And, you know, there were certain aspects of the music that were fun. But I had to make it. I had to be adaptable for my friend. He always was late. He always showed up late. Sometimes he didn't show up on time, didn't do certain things on time. If you needed something, you know, you knew you needed to set your clock for another 30 minutes. Because that was the kind of guy he was. It's just the way he was, where he grew up. Now, you can get mad at somebody for that and try to correct them all the time, but all you're going to do is drive them away from you. I learned to be adaptable to it. I set my timing differently. And you know why? I got used to it. We started service on time, but I always made allowances for him if we had something important. Now, there's times we sat down and talked about it. I said, hey, I really need you to be here at a certain time because we're supposed to go on at a certain time. And, you know, he always came through, okay? Don't get me wrong. But my point is, you know, just don't mess up somebody's Cheerio bowl just because it's not going good for you. Be patient. Be adaptable. Jesus made me flexible. The love of God is adaptable and flexible because it loves. It doesn't take. It doesn't beat you up. It doesn't run you up the flagpole and leave you up there for 100 days. Love, God's love in me, is not touchy. And you have to train yourself to operate that way. Now, I know there's times you need to correct a situation. I get that. But even then, the love of God is palatable, not distasteful. Let me say that again. There's times, you know, correction needs to be there. I get that. But you need to understand the love of God is palatable, not mean, not mean-spirited. It's palatable. You know, the reason that the world has rejected Jesus is because they've rejected our example of Him. You want to win the lost? Then be the lover sent by the Lord. You want to change somebody's life? How about smile instead of jumping down their case? That's good preaching. Where there's strife, there's every what? Evil work. That's why love is so important. Are you here today? Yeah. Amen. Let's stop. We'll pick up here next Sunday. I'll let Melissa come up and speak with me next Sunday, and we'll close out these other three points and do it together. I think that'll be fun. And you learn something today? Amen. I'm kind of setting the stage. You know, we talked about communication. This is important because y'all get an opportunity to walk in forgiveness every day. Every day. Every day. Can you say amen? Amen. All right. Bow your heads with me. Close your eyes. Amen. Father, we just thank You. We thank You for Your word today. Oh, we serve such a good God. A good God who loves us, who cares for us, who watches over us. Thank You, Lord, for shedding Your love in our hearts. Lord, so that we can know Your presence in passions. Lord, we read in the Scriptures that You love, You laugh, You cry, that we can vex You. Lord, let us be sensitive to Your heart. You love people, no matter what background, no matter what their political persuasion. You love people. And people need the Lord. People need to see Jesus. Father, I just thank You. Thank You, Lord, that we are adaptable so that love can be paramount, so that we can make a statement. Use us, Lord. Like the old song says, here I am, Lord, use me. Use me. You are the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me and shape me. Jesus, be the master craftsman of my heart. In Jesus' name. I just believe the Holy Ghost is speaking to your heart. There's probably somebody in your life right now, you know they need your kindness and your love. They need the love of Jesus coming from your hand, from your heart. Take some time this week. Reach out to them. Reach out to them. Amen. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, but you want to, boy, it's the best day. Amen. What a great day. This first Sunday of November, the month of thankfulness. Why don't you be thankful that Jesus saved you? It's so easy to ask Him into your heart. It's simple. God sent His only Son so that you could be free from all of your sins. All you got to do is ask Him into your heart right now. We're all going to pray with you. If you're watching online, if you're here today, and you want to make your heart right, let's do it together. Pray with me right now. Church, pray with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to You and I ask You to forgive me of all of my sins. I believe that You sent Your Son, Jesus, to die for me, to be raised from the dead. Jesus, come into my life. Make me brand new. From this day forward, I will live all of my days for you. In everything that I do, I will live for you and honor you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and delivering me. Thank you for making me born again. Hallelujah. Hey, if you prayed that prayer today,